Welcome to Worst Case Scenario, a podcast about anxiety. I'm one of your hosts, Yusung.
I'm your other host, Rebecca.
And the way this works is that each week, one of us will bring in something we're anxious about, we'll talk about it, and then we'll read a scene we've written that's the worst case scenario for that anxiety.
I want the listeners to be aware that every time Yusung says, welcome, I roll my eyes. Yeah. Every time. It happens without fail. It's like a tick. I cannot do it.
Is it because of my happiness and enthusiasm that makes you deeply, deeply upset?
It doesn't make me upset. I'm just like, oh, brother, here we go.
But what people also might not know, I don't know if anyone will find this, but like usually before we start recording, we'll be like really, really like upset and depressed and just like low energy. And then suddenly like, welcome!
I feel like that was true more in season one.
Right,
and
right,
season
right.
two, we've been a little more pep in our step, I guess.
Rebecca, how has your week been? Another one for the soundboard.
Yeah. So I got my car back.
Oh, my God.
And guess what? My worst case scenario kind of happened.
Your car broke down as you were driving it out?
No. Oh, the actual, like, really insane part didn't happen, but...
Mechanic's catfish jumped out of the tank?
Okay, I guess a lot of it didn't happen, but the part where something ended up being more expensive and he didn't tell me ahead of time did happen,
fuck,
so
dude.
It was, like, $3,000.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. He was like, you pay the original quote now, and you can take as long as you need for the rest, the remainder of it. Mm. It was, like, something that couldn't really be helped, and I was like, you're supposed to call me.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's done. What's done is done.
And your car's back.
It looks so beautiful.
It's clean now?
It's real clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he cleaned it for me.
Right.
But yeah.
Do you think he did or the catfish did?
Yeah, the catfish just licked it with its little like cat tongue.
Yeah.
Because you know catfish have cat tongues.
Yeah, yeah.
Very
yeah.
scratchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that happened and I'm just like, fuck.
I'm so sorry.
Thanks. it's fine.
Yeah.
Credit card debt. we love it.
Subscribe to our, we don't have a Patreon.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
It's just going to have to take however many years it takes for me to pay it with just my normal job money.
Right.
How about you? Have you been?
I've been okay. Just like a very tired still.
Yeah.
And trying to answer a lot of the large questions in life.
Just casual week, typical week.
You know when you're like tired, but then like I had this realization, and maybe this will be expanded in a future episode, but I was like listening to other people talk about their careers, and they were like, yeah, well, like when I was bartending, and another person was like, yeah. Oh yeah, when I was bartending, and I was like,
yeah.
Fuck, dude, I worked part-time at IT during college, and like, and then I like...
Yeah.
Started working at a podcast production network. Like the tiredness that I feel is like a different flavor, less harsh flavor than the tiredness that others have potentially felt. So I was like, even though I am tired, I should probably just like, I don't want to like dwell on it.
I don't know. I feel like you're entitled to feel your feel. You don't have to
quantify
because of other people's situations. It doesn't change how you feel. You know.
Yeah. I think it's just like to just keep everything in check. And,
in perspective, yeah.
Yeah. In like a motivation type of way more than... I think on season one, we never said the word motivation.
Oh, yeah? I don't know. Anyone want to go back and re-listen and let us know?
But that is a segue into one of our new segments for season two, Tales from the Couch. Welcome to Tales from the Couch, a segment where
I'm
we
still,
reveal...
still... jury's out on this music, dude.
No, it's good. A segment where we reveal things we've said to our therapist while sitting on a soft cloth cushion. Okay.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Okay, Rebecca, I have some big news.
Whoa.
I have a prescription for antidepressants.
Oh, shit. Wow.
But going to a psychiatrist was a fucking ordeal.
Really?
I met with this guy, and he's like an older guy.
Yeah.
And could you imagine if that's all the problems that I had with him? he was an older guy. No. And I know this is going to sound rich coming from me, but cared more about hearing his own voice than like trying to empathize with.
Well, he's not a therapist.
Yeah. And so like.
He's a medical doctor.
Yeah. There's moments where like. I was like, we were asking about my past, and I was like, well, we're talking about my childhood, and I was like, well, my parents hit me, but not that frequently, and his first response, without missing a beat, was like, well, they grew up, they came from a different culture, and I was like,
yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But we're talking about like emotional trauma. I would hope that it was like just even a tacit or anything like anything would have been better than like suck it up, you big dumb baby. Like
definitely not what he meant.
Definitely not what he meant. But as in like, but it's just like in different ways of thinking. Because if I was in a situation, I would be more curious as to what the person was feeling versus the empirical truth of the circumstances in their of their family.
Okay.
Just other thing where. He asked me, like, what I was most afraid of, and I said, like, I don't want to make other people sad. Shout out to last episode where I learned that I was a people pleaser. But it was like a – and then he went on to explain, and I really – oh, my God, I'm starting so much. But I prefaced it with, like, I know this is impossible. I know it's impossible to live a life without confrontation, but I'm really – like emotionally, I'm scared of making people upset. And he was like, "Well, that's impossible." I was like, "I know. I just told you that. Like, I know. I'm not missing any of the logic of it." But then he went on to explain, regardless. Like, what if two people go for the same job? You know, like one of them has to get disappointed. And then he's something kind of problematic. Was like, what if you know you and someone else like the same girl? You know, only one of you can conquer her. And
what?
He came from a different country, so like maybe
what,
it's a translation.
Country?
Romania.
Okay.
Maybe? But like
conquer
I was like, yeah,
her.
I was like, I wrote down that verb immediately as I left because I was like,
red flag.
Here's the thing though, I still like I didn't like indignantly get up and leave because I was like, give me a fucking like I was like, I'm in it for the prescription, baby. Like I'm like not trying to like you know, abuse any drugs or anything.
Right.
But,
well
like,
you're not planning on like
no,
he's
and
not
I don't
the
have to see
gonna,
him that often.
Right, yeah.
So I was like he was like he wanted to prescribe me something else, but I had heard good things from you and from a friend of mine about Wellbutrin. He was like, well, that's more of an antidepressant than it is an anti-anxiety. Which
I
like,
thought that that's what you need, isn't it?
I guess I was talking a lot about anxiety, so you wanted to prescribe me something more focused on that.
Oh, weird, because I always think of you as more of a depressed person then.
Thank you.
Yeah. than anything else. I think about that more than any other quality about you.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to just prescribe you an antidepressant.
But he was like, well, if you have good feelings about Wellbutrin, 30% of it's placebo, so you should, like, I don't mind. And I was like,
oh
okay.
Oh, my God.
So,
also, like, that's not how prescribing things works. He's supposed to assess and figure out, like, tell you what he thinks, in his professional opinion, would be the best fit for you, not because of you have some friends that took Wellbutrin.
Wait, Rebecca, I'm just, like, thinking about it now. His office was, like, a booth at a McDonald's.
Like... Wait, so what did he prescribe you?
Wellbutrin.
Oh, God, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm one day into it, so I feel nothing, but, like...
Right, right.
Or I can say that I feel great. And
yeah. I mean, look, I've never taken it, so I can't speak from experience. I know people have had good things and not as good things, but for every medication, so who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's all about trial and error.
So this podcast will legitimately document my
good.
My
I'm very curious. You're like you're like the little guinea pig.
Yeah.
And I'm just the observer.
There's no better way to phrase this, but if anyone's listening, please ask your doctor what's right for you, even though I did not like
Yeah. Your doctor sounds peculiar.
Was very peculiar.
Yeah. But okay. You know, we've all got our quirks.
Yeah.
So his is interesting verbiage with Tywin talking about women. But okay.
Really
conquering.
Me out.
Conquering really bums me out.
Yeah, that really bummed me out.
Oof, that is not the best.
Is there anything of note lately that you've told your therapist?
Yeah. So I had therapy yesterday, and
Woo!
It won't be yesterday for you when you're listening to this.
Oh,
but,
boy. One of those classic podcast moments.
It was funny because, like, the night before, I didn't sleep at all. Like, I just stayed up all night, just like on the internet. I was just on my computer, just in the living room. Mm-hmm. And I drifted in and out of sleep a couple times, maybe slept for a total of about 20 minutes. So I didn't sleep at all. And I kept thinking, like, oh, yeah, at 3, I'll sleep. Oh, yeah, at 4, I'll sleep. At 5, I'll sleep. And then it was, like, 9:30 in the morning, and I was like, I have stuff to do today, so I guess I'm awake now.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel good, just to put it mildly.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get my shit together enough to, like, shower before therapy. I literally just, like, and I have therapy at 12:30, so
And just to be clear, we both wear our Sunday best to therapy, right?
Yeah. I wear, like, a really cool hat with a lot of decorations on it.
Yeah.
But I just, like, threw some stuff on and like somehow drove, which again, like I don't recommend you driving on no sleep, but I really did feel okay. Like I ate some blueberries and like all was good. But
nature's caffeine.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's instead of sleep, right? When you don't sleep, you eat blueberries. Right. Feeling really alive. But I went and she immediately could tell something wasn't right with me, probably because my eyes were crossing and I was slumped over. But she was like, "How's it going?" And I was like, "Oh, it's fine. I didn't sleep last night." And she was like, "Oh, well, do you think we can have a productive session today?" I was like, "Not sure, but okay, we'll try." And it's funny that I didn't sleep at all the night before, and then we spent 20 minutes just talking about dreams. I did not have any dreams before because I did not sleep. But
is she like a...
She's really into dream analysis, I found out. She's really into that. She's really into, like, spooky stuff, which is, like, very cool to find out. And, yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
She's, like, really into horror, which I'm not, but, she is, and I think that's cool.
Jeez.
Yeah, she's really into, but she's also just, like, very, she's very, learned. So I feel like she's always quoting philosophers and psychiatrists and you know, scientists, and like she just knows a lot about a lot of different things. And she was talking about different dream theories, and she basically has encouraged me to start writing down my dreams when I wake up. And I haven't started. I didn't do it today. I forgot immediately. I decided to do something and immediately didn't do it. But because I want to be able to bring in something and like ask her about it because I'm interested. Some of it's bullshit, but like she seems to think that like, you know, there's a lot of different interpretations for things, but it's maybe an interesting insight into things that are going on with you.
Yeah, for sure.
So we talked about that for a while, and then I usually wear a watch, and I didn't wear one, and the clock in the room doesn't face me, so I never, I started wearing a watch to therapy in like, very consciously, because I want to know when our time is running out.
And, for you to go to therapy and get a watch.
Because I put myself in a way, obviously, during it. But when we finished, I noted, like, oh, ironic that I didn't sleep at all and we spent 20 minutes talking about therapy. And she was like, she looked
or
at
dreams?
The, or to talk about dreams, sorry. We spent 20 minutes talking about dreams. And she looked at her clock and was like, whoa, it was exactly 20 minutes. How'd you know that? And I was like, I don't know. I'll never tell. So apparently I have a very good body clock.
Wow. That's crazy.
I know. It's a talent I never knew I had. But
when you say that your therapist is very learned,
Does
she sound anything like this? And I'm reading this through Khan's perspective of...
No, does she sound like a fucking twat? No. She's great.
I will say that like when you read like Freud's dream analysis and like he makes the logical steps connecting things, it is amazing, if not more from a literary perspective than like
it's amazing how you reference Freud a lot, but like no therapists follow anything Freudian anymore because it's outdated and like not right. You're like very into Freud, like it's not right. She references like Jung a lot,
right?
And like other
father people. More. Oops. I think that was the most ham-fisted moment I've ever had.
Wow.
Maybe in my life. Oh, wait, can I tell you something that I told my therapist this week?
No. yes, please.
I was talking about, like, the nature of relationships and, like, the balance between sadism and masochism.
Oh, okay. I'm listening.
And we were talking about, like, finding the right match, and I legitimately said to her, and I quote, there is no Yenta of sadomasochism.
Oh, my. There is. There are definitely apps for that.
There's definitely apps for that, but, like...
I wonder how explicit you're eventually going to get on this podcast, because I'm dying to know.
I wish I could.
You're coy about it, but, like, I'm so fascinated.
I know, but I feel like that's an appropriate reason, like, avenue of my life that I...
to be private?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, you bring it up. I feel like you want to say, but you...
Look, we got a lot to talk about today. we're back at my anxiety this week.
Yeah.
Okay. I am I'm worried that I'm going to screw up every professional connection. / relationship that I have.
Okay.
Because we work together, you know that I can be very awkward.
Sorry, were you waiting for me to disagree? It's not going to happen.
I'm like very awkward.
Sometimes.
Like social situations, I just get very nervous and I don't know like I didn't know anyone before getting into the entertainment industry and and so I truly like I'm maybe a little too desperate like to try to make connections and stuff, but even beyond that, once the connections are made, I'll just try to like be casual. And me trying to be casual is truly horrific. Like, I cannot.
Oh, wow.
I can't. I was about to say just kick it, which is a very unnatural way of saying that. Like, I
coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Chillax, I might as well have said. But I just like say very awkward things, and I'm worried that it's ultimately going to be like
your downfall.
Yeah, my downfall. Like, I also think that, like, please, do you think I think I'm childish, like, maybe generally in my life. Hopefully it does not bleed into like the professional.
Right.
Like when I...
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I agree with you that I would also hope that.
Do you think that, like, because we work together, do you think that...
There's no way for this to end.
Well. Okay, well, you don't have to answer. But, like, the thing is, even if I do, like, I'm childish in my personal life, but professional in my professional life.
Yeah.
When I, like, when it's just, like, getting coffee outside of, like, the office or, like, the studio, inevitably, me relaxing will end up to be me being more childish. Like,
what does you relaxing mean, and what does you being childish mean in that context? I'm trying to picture it.
Should we read my scene?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
maybe that'll illustrate what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, I'll play myself, and I'll read the stage directions. And Rebecca, if you want to be person one, host one, and stranger.
Oh my God, this is my big moment.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're coming from a place of... No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, tell me my motivation.
Yeah. Interior, coffee shop, day. You're selling in person one or catching up at a table. This is the result of a 5-email-long chain with the subject, coffee, ? Well, that's great. It sounds like you have a lot of exciting projects coming up.
Yeah, it should be a busy time.
Well, if you ever need any help with anything writing-related...
Of course, you'd be considered.
Thanks. Do you have any plans this upcoming week?
I'll actually be headed to Comic-Con for a panel.
Oh, that's cool. Then all of a sudden, Yusung adds, I remember being there a few years ago and the Yu-Gi-Oh! Booth was very cool.
What? Why would you say that?
I don't know.
Hang on, I'm getting a text from my agent. It looks like I'll be staffed in a few weeks and they need someone in the writer's room, but they want an adult, not a stupid little baby.
I'm not a... Yusung is met with a look. Okay, fine. cut to interior recording studio day. A few weeks later, Yusung is finishing up an audio recording with comedians.
Host one. Hey, Yusung, can you sort out the fan mail whenever you get a chance?
Yeah, totally. Then all of a sudden, Yusung adds, fan mail, more like a snail mail. A sad silence overtakes the room.
Ha, yeah.
Host one pulls host two aside and whispers for a moment.
We're going to have to let you go. You do an okay job, but you're always trying to make jokes, and it's very uncomfortable.
I see.
We wanted someone professional and not, like, a stupid little baby.
Yeah. Cut to interior networking event night. Yusung works up the courage to approach a stranger at a networking event. Hi, my name is...
I'm going to stop you right there. Look, I'm pretty busy, and just from your general energy, I can tell this is going to be uncomfortable.
Okay, yeah.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
You just give off this impression. Are you a stupid little baby?
Well, I've been told...
Yeah, I thought so.
The stranger leaves, and Yusung walks home alone with his thoughts and scene.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
Remember what that scene I wrote a while ago when someone called me a stupid little
baby?
Yeah. That really affected you.
It really affected me. I think that please let it be known for the record. This is Rebecca's phrase. Stupid little baby is not.
No, I just it didn't occur to me at the time like how deeply moved you would be by that phrase, and it really stuck with you.
It's so funny. I just think like because I think it's like. It's been a while since Stupid Little Baby's been in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
But it's good to have it back.
That's one of my DJ names, Stupid Little Baby.
Yeah. It's like when I like I'll make a connection professionally, mm-hmm. and then inevitably we'll just end up like hanging out, right? Whether it's like after a record or like getting coffee, and that's when like all hell breaks loose. Like I don't think I just think that I'm so uncomfortable.
I would just like to say that the Yu-Gi-Oh thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I know that one's true because it's something you told me about,
right.
But I don't understand why that's a bad thing to say. You were there and that was your experience and you had a good time and you're just trying to relate to the other person. Like, why, for the other person to even bring it up and point it out is like a weird thing to say seems like really douchey to me.
I think they were joking.
Okay.
I don't think it was, but I, of course, took it very like.
Yeah. They were just like. Like roasting
like,
you a little
you say
bit.
That? Yeah,
that was just is a joke, but it's not like to me it doesn't seem awkward at all.
And I also prefaced it with like I don't know why I'm saying this, but I remember being there in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Booth was very cool.
Oh, you set yourself up to get roasted, but
yeah,
you preface
up.
Things with like you incept the idea in your head for people to abuse you by like saying like, you're probably gonna abuse me for this, but
yeah, yeah.
I don't want to victim blame you. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Rebecca and I were just sitting in the studio. One of our hosts on our we work at a podcast network. She just came up to me and was just like, put her hands on my shoulders. I was like, what did she say?
Like, she went up to you and she like shook you by the shoulders and said, "You're so easy to abuse."
Yeah, you're so fun to bully because you don't fight back.
That's what it was. You're so fun to bully because you don't fight back.
Yeah, so I realized that I might give off that energy too, but I'm a glutton for attention, so it all works out.
And it's all in. It's never like malicious. It's always like good natured ribbing.
Well, that's comforting to hear.
Yeah.
I'm just like a. I'm just worried that like I'll eventually screw up all these relationships.
Yeah.
By being and to be fair, the Yu-Gi-Oh booth was very cool.
I feel probably anyone who goes to Comic-Con would agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find that like have you made meaningful connections that you're still able to be casual with?
My problem is that I'm really, and this is a really really bad problem in this industry, is that I'm terrible at keeping my connections. It's less about me doing something awkward or embarrassing. It's more about me just like dropping off the face of the map. I'll just let an email chain die, or I'll forget to. They'll tell me like, please keep in touch, and I mean it. Like, reach out to me, and then I'll be like, oh my god, that's so nice, thank you, and then I'll never reach back out. And so I just let connections die, and that's so bad for like that. That just means like nothing will ever happen to me.
I don't think that that's true, but like, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it is like not good.
I think like it is awkward reaching back out. I have to set reminders on my phone to be like, just text this person.
In my mind, I'm always like, they don't really want to hear from me. Like, why would they?
Yeah, it always feels like a little awkward just being like, hey, hope everything's going well. I don't know if you want to. it feels like mush. It feels like nothing.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is I'm getting better at this. And we've talked about this recently in terms of like just emailing people when you want them to do something that they wouldn't like. If you need a favor from somebody,
you should just ask for the favor.
You should just ask.
You don't have to say, it's okay if you can't.
Yeah. I feel like eliminating the apology up top.
Right.
Don't preemptively. It's like exactly like what, instead of like with abuse, like incepting the bullying, like even if it's like good natured, but like putting the idea in their head that this is a favor and they should be reminded that they're putting themselves out in order to like do this thing for you, and it's like such a hassle. Like when you're setting that up in the email, you don't even know what they think. Like, you could just say like, hey, I hope things are good with you. Like, I was thinking about you recently, like something came up and it reminded me of a conversation we had, and I was wondering if you'd want to get coffee and catch up. Like, I'd love to hear about what you're doing. Like, that's so much, people are so much more likely to be like, oh, sure, yeah, why not? Then if you were like, hey, like, I'm so sorry to bother you. Like, I know this is really annoying, and like, you could totally say no, but like, I don't know, would you ever consider like maybe having coffee with me? Like, I know it's, I'm so gross. Like, I feel like I'm so embarrassed.
Hey, Rebecca,
and then they're like, ew,
are you
no.
reading my texts?
Yeah.
Or what's happening here?
Yeah. But like, can you see how if you got that email, you'd
course,
be like,
of course.
Dude, relax.
I'm slowly learning, like, when you, hey, I'm a piece of shit, you want to hang out? Like, that doesn't work.
No. Just like act like you belong. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like the best way to kind of defeat the imposter syndrome is to just trick yourself. Like, you have to just act like you were invited to the party.
Right.
And then people will assume, no one just assumes that you're crashing. You know, they were like, oh, wow, you're here. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say that, like, I'm very, I've only had to do this, you know how, like, I'm already preemptively rolling my eyes, but like, you know how in the entertainment industry, a lot of like the cold reaching out is like, you'll hear from people, hey, just wanted to pick your brain about something.
Yeah, I hate that.
I hate that too.
I hate that expression. And people have told me to use that phrase, and I think
too.
It's disgusting.
Me fucking too.
Like, I like the weird imagery. Like, I think it's funny, but like, you know, in a professional context, like, I feel like that's such a gross image.
Yeah.
Like, I always imagine myself, this is so crazy, but 100% of the time when I hear that expression, I imagine myself holding that person's disembodied head with, like, the top cut off, and I'm eating the brain with a spoon like it's yogurt. And I'm just, like laughing, and I just have, like, brain smeared all over my mouth. I'm not joking. I literally have that. Anytime someone says, pick your brain, that's the image I have in my head, and I'm like, look,
it's weird that that's the new advertising campaign for Yogurtland.
Yeah, and it's, like, as, like, fun as that image is for me, and, like, as cool and sexy as it is, really, I don't want to have to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I did this program from my college, It was like you spend a summer in Hollywood and like it really yielded nothing. Like I don't keep in touch with anyone.
Yeah.
And I had to go to a fucking Dodgers game.
Like, oh God.
I understand that there's much worse things that you get. Like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
There you go.
My first experience of LA was just like dudes with tight shirts with one button buttoned, unbuttoned, like too far down their shirt with like slicked back hair. And I hated it so much that I was like, I don't want to roll
but
in this.
But that wasn't you
ever.
Here. That was just you watching Entourage.
Yeah. And then I woke up. And but no, that was like my honest first impression of LA. And it was like, I never want to do this ever. It was just so like bro-y and like superficial and like.
I mean, that reality
exists for sure,
but obviously that's just one facet of very multifaceted environment, just like every place, you know, that's one aspect of it. It's easy to reduce it to that, and like if you're looking at it if you're looking for it, you find that everywhere, but if you're looking for something else, you know that that's not everything there.
Yeah, obviously not. There's like a
but like the schmoozy, slimy, kind of oily. Sorry, what am I talking about?
Oil.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm hungry. yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to like. I also feel like awkward when I'm trying to. Anytime like I realize that I'm networking.
I'm like,
oh God.
Yeah.
And
I
also like feel that firsthand embarrassment of like I can like an out of body like I can see myself and I'm like. You know, sometimes I think I handle it well, and then other times I'm like, you either talked way too much and you said something really fucking weird, or you didn't speak at all and they think you're an idiot.
Yeah.
It's hard. And my problem in those situations is that I'll get way too chatty, and then in an effort to be funny, because it's my only really objective is at least if they think I'm funny, then like that's fine.
Yeah.
Is that I'll say something really gross because I'm a 15-year-old boy. So I
like that's what she said.
I'll just say something really dirty, like because I just my brain just goes there on its own and I can't stop myself. Or I'll just like be way too real. Like they don't know me like that, and I'll just be way too vulnerable in a way that's like supposed to be self-deprecating and like, haha, look at me. I'm so like, look how self-aware I am. But like
I haven't left my bed in 3 days.
Right. I'll make a joke like that.
Yeah,
but like
in
a really like, but it's not because I'm thinking like, oh, what's a funny thing I could say? It's like it just comes out of my mouth and I don't even realize what's happening. And then an hour later I'll be home and be like, what the fuck did I say? Why did I say that? Like now that's the thing they'll remember about me. Like I think I told you this before, but like one time when I also did a semester in LA when I was in college, and it was my final semester.
Did you have to go to a Dodgers game?
No, I didn't have to. I didn't go to a Dodgers. There was like a thing that was organized, and I didn't go.
I had to go.
The thing is, you don't have to do anything ever. You know, I learned that early on, where I just say if I don't want to do an organized activity, and someone tells me you have to, I'm like, says who, motherfucker? I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
I don't want to go to a fucking Dodgers game.
And me still, I'm like, no, I have to do it.
I don't want them to be mad at me. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm staying in bed. So, but I was at a networking thing with alums, and like, I was talking to these two dudes, and to this day, I'm not sure if like they actually could have ever helped me, or if they were just being like gross, like older dudes, like talking to like a young female. And like, I was making them laugh a lot, and I was like feeling really confident. And then they made some like snarky comment, and like it was like a very like a slap each other's shoulders kind of like, haha, we're all pals here.
Yeah, I've seen Entourage.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I walked away, and I like did the jacking off motion, like I did the jack off and like jizz spraying motion with my hands.
Jesus, Rebecca.
Sorry, I just want to be very clear about what I was doing.
Oh my God.
And like they definitely laughed, but as I walked away, I realized like, you stupid bitch, you're drunk. Like, what are you doing? Like, I was. On free wine, but I just was like, why the fuck did I
just
do that?
Clear, you did the jack off and then jizz and then the cleaning up motion. Right?
Oh yeah, and then like smearing it on my pants.
Ah!
And then,
no,
I just did the motion and like turned around and walked away like very confidently, and I was like, I'm an adult. And I was like, you're a dumb bitch. Like, you're a drunk bitch, and you're a fucking stupid little baby. What did you do?
Oh my God.
It's like, way to not look like a fucking professional grown up, you stupid bitch.
I really, Rebecca, I swear to God, I'm not just like, this isn't going to sound right in the moment, but I really wish I had your confidence. Like, No, I've said this to you before. Like, because we work at the same office, I think that more people like Rebecca because she's just like very like antagonistic in a good way, and like I can't be like
in a good way. I don't think it's good.
I wrote this sketch about like in college about like I can't be playfully antagonistic, and I very much like that with like a romantic partner or whatever.
Yeah.
So I wrote the sketch that was just like me trying that. I'd be like, haha, idiot. Yeah. It was like just too much, you know. Or someone was saying that to me. I was just the straight man. But like,
I like that quality in other people as well. Like, I'm attracted to that quality, but I don't always realize it happening when I'm doing it, and then I'm too in too deep, and I can't stop. And and then I'll just realize I'm saying, like, for the context, it's all about like what's appropriate in the moment. And my brain doesn't. I talk the same to everyone, no matter if you're like 5 years old,
right,
or like 80, or if you're like a 45-year-old like development executive, or if you're my best friend. Like, I'll talk to you the same way, and it's gotten me in trouble.
No, but I do genuinely wish I could do that. Like,
yeah. It's got pros and cons, I guess.
The last thing that I'll say on the subject of networking is, like, you know, in those, like you were saying, those casual, like, it's a bar.
Yeah.
So when I was first year interning for, like, a podcast network, I remember, do you know Erin McGathy?
Yeah.
She's the host of this amazing podcast, This Feels Terrible. Mm-hmm. And I was with a group, but she was the only one that I even just, like, vaguely knew. Barely knew.
Yeah.
And granted, like, my goal was not, like, shirt and collar networking, but
right,
I was just so anxious because I didn't know anyone. I was still in college. I mm-hmm. didn't know anything. I said to Erin at one point, can I talk to you, or can I follow you around?
I've said that to people too.
Yeah, and it was just like, and she was like cool with it. She's like, I thought it was very like hopefully cute and not like
she definitely was like, oh, that's so sweet, like, for sure.
Yeah, but I just remember like, this is all my social skill. Like, this is the pinnacle of how I can engage with other people.
Yeah. I totally relate. I really do understand what you mean. It's really hard.
It's really hard.
Like it's hard enough at like a party, let alone when there's like a professional skew to it, you know, like you have to like, then you're kind of, you want to straddle that line between seeming like cool, confident, and casual, but also being professional and like someone people would like feel comfortable paying money to do work and like not just like, you know, like smoking weed with, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right,
like, it's just hard to... It's hard to balance that. And also when you're uncomfortable about both versions of that and you try to combine them, it's like, well, fucking kill me.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Okay.
And well- and we're back.
Do you want to do it clean?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it clean.
We're back.
Cool. Well, we've talked about my anxiety of not being able to network or all my professional relationships dissolving, but now it's time for a segment called
And Now Me.
A lot of attention has been doled out. This is a segment where the person who didn't write a scene will share what they've been up to.
Is that a harp?
Yeah, it's a harp.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's really good.
it's really good. And now me. Well, I already mentioned my car thing.
Yeah.
I've let that go because, you know, it happened and I can't, how long am I going to punish myself about this? I just have to let it go.
I have a question about the sleep thing.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. Have you ever, like, I don't think I'd have the willpower to do this, but, like, force yourself to go to bed?
I have before.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't work, and I genuinely have insomnia, and I'll lie awake for hours, and sometimes I just fall asleep.
Have you tried melatonin?
I don't take it because I actually don't think it's good to take. Mm-hmm. You develop a if you take it too much, you can develop a what's it called? Resistance or a tolerance? A tolerance.
Oh, okay,
you build
up
a tolerance to it, so you take more and more, and then like your body naturally produces melatonin. So if you start taking it and relying on the supplement, then your body stops producing it naturally.
Yeah.
You can get it naturally from cashews and cherries. There are certain foods that like have it, and they're good to eat before. Like, a lot of people say never eat before bed, but there are certain foods that are okay to eat close to bedtime because...
It's like a Five Guys double cheeseburger.
yeah. That sounds kind of good right now, actually. Yeah. Anyway, there are certain like foods you can eat that are like good for inducing effect. But I actually firmly believe you shouldn't really take melatonin. I don't really have a problem with insomnia as much anymore. It's more of like I was tired. I was like falling asleep a little bit, but I was forcing myself to stay awake for like no reason.
Right.
It's funny because when I told my therapist about it, she said she's never pulled an all-nighter in her entire life.
That's insane.
And I was like, I looked at her for a second. I was like, can't relate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was like, I was the person when I was writing my dissertation that if I have a project and I'm given it, I know it's due in 7 months, like I'll do an hour and a half of work on it every single night until it's done. And I just looked at her and I was like, you're a freak.
Yeah.
I actually said that. I was like, I said, you're weird. And she was like, I know. Because
Jesus.
I think that is fucking weird. Like, not everybody does it literally the night before, but like, you don't fucking start every night. You're going to do an hour and a half of work every night. You absolute asshole.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, that's great. Like, so good for you, but like, fuck off. Still love her. still love her to death.
Can I tell a quick story about melatonin?
Uh huh.
So I wasn't like sleeping well in college. I was like, maybe melatonin will help.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even like a drug that you need a prescription for.
No, it's a over the counter.
But
it's a vitamin. It's like a, yeah.
I really don't know how this happened, but I ended up buying it from a friend.
We're in this game. Well, like a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Like, how do you end up in this situation?
I don't know, but she and I are in the same sketch group, and we were both so anxious about it. And like,
you can get it at Whole Foods.
I know. Like, we could buy it on campus at like the store.
At the vitamin shop.
Yeah, literally
any place.
Literally anywhere. And as I gave her the money and she gave me like a thing of melatonin. It turns out we had both looked up, can too much melatonin kill you? Like, and we talked about that for a while.
That's so funny. Too much is definitely not good for you. I think if you take it once in a while, then it's fine. Like if you're really having a hard time.
Yeah, it didn't really help. I was just too nervous.
You can't take it every night.
Yeah.
There's this other thing. There's a supplement that my mom takes called valerian root that comes in capsules as well. Well, I don't know if melatonin always does. But
it's cool that she has access to the things in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, my God. It's not spelled that way. It's with an I, not a Y.
Okay.
Right? That's how it is?
I actually don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. Neither of us have ever seen Star Wars, so it's fine. Anyway, so there's this thing, valerian root, which is supposed to be a sort of anxiety reducing, like it helps like your heart slow down a little bit and like just calm the fuck down.
Mm.
But it smells like a corpse. And anytime I've been home, if like I can't sleep or I don't feel great, and she's like, oh, take some valerian, like I'll be like, ugh, no. And then she's like, just try it. And I'll open the bottle and I'll like gag and I'll be like, nope, definitely not. I'd rather have a panic attack than take this. It smells disgusting.
Yeah.
Do
you think forcing yourself to sleep is in your future?
Yeah, I mean, I don't normally stay up all night. Like, that's not typical for me. Right. But it's happened, like, in the last month, it's happened twice, and that's not normal. Like, that's more than it usually is in a month.
Yeah.
Usually it's, like, maybe over the course of 4 months it'll happen twice, you know? I think because I had just gotten my car back a couple days before, and I was feeling so just, like, out of control in my life. Like, I just felt like I was so anxious. I was so stressed out. I was so upset. And like, I felt like I just needed to, you know, there's something about being awake at a time of night or early morning when you know that like no one is awake that would ever need anything from you.
Right.
Like you couldn't possibly do work, even if like you couldn't answer an email. You couldn't like do anything. No one can expect anything from you at 3 a.m. Like that time is only for you. And there's something freeing about that like I can do whatever the fuck I want. I can watch as much Netflix. I can like read as much random shit online. Like I can watch as many YouTube videos and no one can tell me that I should be doing something else except sleeping because there's no one to answer to at that time. So there's something freeing about being able to just like turn off my brain and do that and not, you know, let that time vanish in sleep.
Yeah.
And I think I just needed it. And I kind of said that to my therapist and she was like, I kind of don't disagree with you. Like maybe once in a while you do need, she's like, it's like binging. Like it's not healthy, but like once in a while you just need to kind of let loose and let yourself just do something that's like maybe not so good for you, but like it helps on some level.
Do you think as you stay up like really late, are you enjoying it?
I mean, sure. Like if I'm enjoying what I'm watching or what I'm reading, like great, but I also don't feel good. And like the earlier it gets, you know, it just, if you don't sleep, it's like tomorrow never comes. Like it's like, it's always still today. Like, you know, like you don't feel the day shifting. If you don't sleep, there's no transfer from one day to the next. So it's like, it feels very disorienting. And then I came home from therapy and lay down in bed and I got home, I like went to therapy, I went to the store, and then I came back and like it was 2 and I lay down in bed and I didn't get up again until 7 p.m. and I felt really fucking weird and gross.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just felt disgusting. I still hadn't showered. I was just like, ugh, like
right.
Everything feels disgusting now. My skin was so dry, like everything was parched. My hands felt like dry, like parchment paper. Like it was terrible. It was a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was just in a fog. And yeah, I don't feel great today. So like it's just, you know, just a lot of not feeling great. But yeah, but that's, you know, it's fine. It just happens sometimes. But more than anything, what I've been like anxious about the last week is that I've been putting off. I'm supposed to go home. I'm supposed to go to the East Coast, like around Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to go to a wedding in Boston and then go to New York for like a week and a half just to see family.
Who are you, Augustana?
What?
You know that song? It's like, I think I'll go to Boston.
I've never heard that before in my life. So your reference is lost on me, but hopefully a listener can relate.
Please email in. I need the validation.
I truly have no idea. But I've been putting off buying my plane ticket every week for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to do it this weekend, and it's Saturday. I could still do it. But like, I've just been putting it off. And I think part of it is just buying plane tickets to me is very stressful.
Yeah.
But then even more than that, just thinking about going to the East Coast, like all the, like it's at the point now where I only really get to go home like once a year,
right?
Because of money and work and time and whatever. And now that my parents are divorced, it fractures my time even more because I can't just see the both of them together and then like spend the rest of the time with my friends or like other family. Like I have to devote time like only to my mom, only to my dad. Then I have to spend, you know, I have to devote time to my grandma. Then I have to see, like, my cousins. I have to, like, I have more and more friends. Like, I have a lot of friends from, you know, high school and elementary school. I have friends from college that live there. And then 2 of my best friends from L.A. moved to New York a few months ago.
Right.
So now I have, and I have another friend from out here that, like, also lives there now. So it's like, I have so many people to see and so little time that it doesn't end up even sounding fun. Like, there's so much I want to do, but I would have to make such a strict itinerary and like, it's almost like checking off
plus
boxes.
Plus you gotta go to Times Square.
Oh yeah, all of the days are in Times Square, my favorite place. I have to go to the Olive Garden, you know. But the idea of going to me, a perfect like vacation is doing, unless I'm going to a place I've never been before where I want to like see a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Is doing nothing. Like, I want to be able to go and just hang out with my friends and stay out to whatever time and, like, you know, really get to see people and really enjoy my time and then go home and go back to LA and feel like really, like, I enjoyed myself. But the way it is going to be is, like, Monday from 12 to 3, I do this. Then, like, I have to do this until 6. And, like, and then Tuesday this. And then, you know, it just, like, sounds shitty. And, like, I haven't been to Boston since graduation. So that means that normally when I go to the East Coast, I only go to New York, but now I have to go to Boston, so I have to take a plane, and then I have to take a fucking bus with all my stuff, then go to New York, and then another plane, so it's like more travel. It just seems like a big fucking hassle, and I think part of me hasn't bought my ticket yet because I just don't
want to
think.
Go. Yeah.
But like I do, there's like so many people I do want to see, and I know it'll be fun, and there's like food I want to eat and stuff I want to do, and but
Guy Fieri's restaurant in Times Square.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think it's closed.
Oh, okay.
But the one that had like my favorite New York Times review of all time.
What is it?
It's a review where like every line of the review is a question. Because it is truly, it's one of the most iconic restaurant reviews of all time. It's really, really funny.
That's amazing.
Just look up Guy Fieri New York Times Square restaurant review. It's truly one of the funniest things I've ever read in my life. But
No, I totally get that because
you know,
like,
it doesn't sound fun. It sounds shitty.
Yeah, that time is an obligation unless you can really like convince yourself that you're having fun with your parents.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm having fun.
Oh, it's this. I'm helping you clean, which I think is like a fine thing to do.
I for sure I'm gonna have to do.
Yeah, and I genuinely want to help my
That's
parents.
That's so
that
funny
way.
That you also would have to do that. Is that an immigrant parent thing? I guess
I don't know, but I also like it's just like the obligation thing of like wanting to help out and
yeah, of course you want to be helpful. Like you want to fill in the blanks that are left like when you're not there, and like I get it, but it's just too many people and too little time.
Right.
Ugh, I wish I could go more than once a year. I think if I could go 3 times a year would be ideal because I wouldn't feel so much pressure. It just feels like a lot of, even just thinking about it now, I'm just like getting stressed out, like thinking about, fuck, like I have to figure out how long I'm going to stay in one place. Like, do I want to stay over at a friend's place at some point? Like, how much time? Then I have to like justify it to everyone. Like, I'm sorry, I can't see you then because I'm doing this. Like, oh, this fun thing's happening, but we already saw each other and I have to see all these other people, like, even though I want to see you more. And like, right. You know?
Whether or not this is possible still remains unknown. Why can't I just talk like a normal person? But like, I would hope that you get a day to yourself just to like kick it in New York.
Exactly. I would love that. Yeah. But the likelihood of that happening, I mean, I could definitely get like an afternoon to myself, but it's just, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's also weird because like, I still think of it as home, even though I haven't lived there now for 4 years.
The concrete jungle where dreams are made of?
Yeah. almost 5 years, actually, I haven't lived there. But every time I go, it's a little different. Like, even my neighborhood, my mom's neighborhood, is like, things are closed down, new places are open. Like, everything feels a little different every time, and it's really weird.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Like, I don't mind that, but it is, like, a little strange. It does feel weird. Like, part of me always thought I would be spending a lot of my 20s in New York, and now it looks like, if I ever move back, I'll spend my 30s in New York. Like, which, to be honest, considering how expensive it is, maybe is ideal to spend your 30s in New York and not your 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
But considering how my life is going, I don't foresee my 30s being easier than my 20s. I'll probably still be as broke. Yeah. Hope not, but, you know, I won't have to deal with my fucking car anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's And Now Me.
This is maybe our most successful segment. But now it's a good transition to a fan favorite.
You always say that now, and I don't know why.
I don't know
who
why
told
either.
You?
No one told me. Welcome to Moderate Case Scenario for Gradual Self-Improvement, where we talk about what we're going to do in this coming week and just generally to improve our anxieties and our lives.
You go first.
Okay. Professional thing? I don't know. Like, I think I can just try to be more like, I'll just like give myself a little more patience and like like whatever. I'm figuring things out. I'm going to be a little awkward.
Just be kinder to yourself.
Just be kinder to myself.
Yeah.
And just still try to keep in touch with people, as annoying as that might.
For sure.
Despite the fears of being annoying. I'm also going home for to visit my parents in upstate New York. And I want to like spend yesterday... I bought my dad a blazer from Uniqlo. It's like
cute.
The same one that I have, but it's like the really comfortable one.
Yeah.
And like a shirt that's also pretty comfortable. And
just to be nice, or is it his birthday? Or
no, just to be nice because.
Did you get something? Did you get something for your mom?
I want to buy my mom an iPad.
Ooh.
Because like, my dad's moving to San Francisco. My mom's staying in upstate New York for employment reasons.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Because if she moves with him, she loses a shit ton of like retirement benefits
sucks
and everything.
So much.
And. So my roommate had, because he's a YouTuber, and he's a successful one at that. He's a car YouTuber, and so Michelin, the tire company, invited him to like this big event in Florida and gave him like a bag of stuff.
Wow.
One of which was like an iPad. It's like a refurbished iPad.
Like a newer one?
Yeah, like a newer one. And so I was like maybe going to buy it from him.
Yeah, because he doesn't need it.
To give it to my mom. No, he was just going to sell it online. But like I might just buy her like... the one that doesn't, this is so boring, but the one that doesn't have cellular, that only has Wi-Fi, and it's like cheaper, and it's like, my mom doesn't need 128 gigabytes of storage. I don't know what, she's not going to take pictures with it.
Right. Is she the kind of person that would find use out of an iPad?
I was like contemplating whether or not to buy it for myself, but then I was like, huh. And then I Googled, what can you do on an iPad? And then I was like, I don't need an iPad.
Because you can do kind of everything, but you already have like a very thin, lightweight laptop.
And I think that she could use it to like FaceTime my dad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like one of these gifts is much more.
Right. But like they don't care about that.
I don't think they would care about that. So
you could buy your mom the exact same outfit you bought your dad. And it would be very, very cute. And you already have the blazer,
really
so you just buy yourself the same shirt and you take a family photo.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a backup suggestion. Just, you know, just think about it.
Yeah. The reason that I feel this impulse, I feel it's a very strange situation.
Mm-hmm.
I have been watching a lot of Korean variety shows.
Yes.
I'm not Korean. I'm Chinese. And
but Korean people always think you're Korean.
Korean people think I'm Korean because I look Korean and my name sounds Korean. but they will be like, at least the culture seems to be like once the children, especially the oldest one, starts making money.
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say. You take care of your parents.
Yeah. you the YouTube translation is allowance. It's not allowance, but like you give money back to your parents fairly regularly or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my parents about this, or I wasn't even talking about this, but they have said to me before, like, don't worry about us. We're doing fine. And I was like,
I mean, they both have jobs. They both have jobs.
A couple of dinks, if you will. No,
they probably both make individually more money than you.
Yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. But like, so I'm like, okay, it's this middle ground. Why can't there be a Korean variety show that follows like a family who immigrates? And then like, how do you navigate the middle ground where you don't know if you're supposed to give money to your parents because you don't know if they really expect it or not, or if it's wanted or whatever. And
Is it similar? Is, I don't know if you'll know or not, but like, that's so, it seems like that's a pretty common thing in Korean culture based on what you've watched. Whether or not that's true for everybody, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Is that something that's like pretty common in Chinese culture too, or you don't know?
I don't know, but I've also like watched my parents as they've given their parents like...
For sure, but like you were already born, they were married, you were born. Right. Like you don't know what they did before.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You could ask. I mean, they're way ahead of you in life. Like where you're, I mean, when you were witnessing that, they were
just
further
like
ahead
people than you. I know.
Further ahead into adulthood, like it would be insane to expect you to do that. You know,
yeah.
Especially, it wouldn't be insane if they really needed it, but you know, they clearly have stated already that they're fine. Yeah.
So I don't know whether or not I'm doing this to appease some invisible cultural god that I don't even know if it truly exists or not.
Yeah, I get the impulse to like. I really like buying stuff for my parents when I can, and the occasional times that I'm able to, I want it to be something nice. I want it to be thoughtful, and like it feels good to like be able to take care of something, like. But I'm for sure not able to do that at all right now. Like I want to be able to do that for my mom, but like I literally cannot.
Yeah, I can't do anything. The iPad is literally the largest thing. Like
token, and that's like pretty big.
Yeah.
Well, it's very thoughtful if you do end up doing it, but even if you can't and you do something smaller, like. It's so nice to get anything.
I appreciate the out because I'm still trying to like think about it. And
you're good either way.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
But beyond that, I've like, I just need to like be. The reason I said the Five Guys thing earlier is because I ate that yesterday instead of like going out for a walk.
How'd you feel after?
Like awful, but amazing.
But but now that you said that, I want a burger so badly.
I recommend it.
Like, I haven't had Five Guys in so long.
Me neither. And I got it fucking delivered because I'm the
grimy little...
I know. And I never...
Whatever. You're fine.
Yeah. So, just like I think I'm just struggling. My schedule has changed to where I'm working a lot more now. And so I have to like still remember how to like cook. And I don't think I could cook anymore.
At all?
Like... If I do, it can only be on weekends, and even so, like,
So you have to get a lot of takeout.
Yeah, so I'm trying to eat pretty cheap.
Have you ever tried meal prep? It's, like, hard, but...
I think I've successfully done that, like, once in the past, but, like, I also...
I get so bored when I do that. I don't want to eat the exact same thing every day. I know that's so bratty, but I'll eat the same thing gladly for 2 or 3 days in a row if I have, like, leftovers and whatever, but, like, 5 days?
Yeah.
That's a lot. I'll do that like right after Thanksgiving and then it's fine.
But, right.
Not any other time of year.
The most successful thing that I've done that with is like, I think at Costco they have like a big Stouffer's lasagna.
Right.
And you just cook it and it's like an endless sea of lasagna.
You also did that with a rotisserie chicken one time. Remember you ate that for like a bunch of days.
I ate a rotisserie chicken and to accompany it, just a baguette. Like, truly the most carbs.
God,
I was like,
God forbid a vegetable.
Yeah. And 3 days later, I was like, why do I feel like such shit? I was like, oh, because I've just been eating.
Was it from Costco also?
That was from Vons.
From Vons, okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's very convenient.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Sorry. I don't mean to monopolize moderate kissing for gradual self-improvement.
Monopolize away.
Do you have a...
I think I really do need to buy my plane ticket, but I think I need to, I think if I really maybe plan out my trip ahead of time, if I think about it and I like think about everyone I want to see and think of like maybe write down some stuff I want to do, I won't be so overwhelmed. I've been finding like I've been making lists more and it's been working. And I think just being able to visualize something on paper does make it feel less overwhelming.
Yeah.
But like, fuck, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I just gotta, I think I just need to do that. Sleep better. Sleep, you stupid little baby.
Season 2 seems a lot more optimistic than season one, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're both in therapy.
We're both in therapy. So, oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's, I mean, I don't know if it's working or not. I'm not sure if I'm wasting her time and she's wasting mine, but like, seems all right.
Yeah, it seems all right.
Are you still thinking of getting a new therapist? Or are you?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah. The one thing that she said was that I really liked was like, I was talking about Catcher in the Rye. Why am I a therapist? And she was like, I remember reading that book, and at the end, spoilers, Holden Caulfield looks up and just sees fuck you scrawled on the walls. And like, it's hard to, one, amazing the moment in literature, because it's hard to like, it's hard to justify, it's so melodramatic if it's on its own, but at the end of that novel, it's like really well done. And she was like, as I was reading it for the first time, I looked up and there was fuck you scrawled on the wall. And I was like, wow.
That's pretty cool.
So that was pretty cool.
Wow. But that doesn't make her a good therapist. It's just like a fun story.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because like the work circumstances are a little bit better. So I just feel better just in terms of my general outlook. But it seems to be okay for the time being.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's, wow. Look at us.
I've been reading J.D. Salinger's 9 Stories collection.
Oh, it's really good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It feels like you get punched in the gut with every ending that he does.
Is this your first time reading it?
Yeah.
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 I did all my J.D. Salinger reading in high school, I think when you're supposed to, but like, great that you're reading it. I love him. I mean, I know people shit on him still, but like, I love it all.
And I'm definitely like, you know, looking at it like, oh, this is what a high schooler would enjoy, not like actively enjoying it or anything.
No, it's for everyone. It's for all ages. It's a great book.
Well, that does it for this episode.
Oh, good. Oof, thank God.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to another.
You just said that. I know it's the outro, but y'all know we're still just sitting here. Lest there be any illusion of a time jump.
So the way that we're recording things is that we'll actually have some time in between, like we'll start releasing episodes, so we'll hopefully have a few letters to read on the air, but please send us questions if you do at worstcasescenariopod@gmail.com, mm-hmm. and we'll try to read them on the air, but if not, we still respond to everything.
Yeah, and it's just fun.
Yeah, it's really fun
for
fun.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, if you know the Augustana song Boston, please, please write in.
Yeah, someone help him, please. I can't help. Follow us on Instagram too, Worst Case Scenario Pod, and on Twitter at Worst Case Pod. Are we using Twitter? We should be.
Well, we haven't released any episodes yet.
We'll definitely be using it once you're listening to this.
Yeah,
there will
be
stuff on there.
Our music was done by @notalent__ on Twitter, and our art was done by @artbyroughhouse. That's art by ruffhouse on Instagram, and you should check her out too.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.